Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I am great, my friend. How are you?
I can't complain. We have NBA basketball is back, David. This will now be, we'll have NBA basketball on every day pretty much from now until June. So it's exciting for basketball fans out there in the world. We had media day at the beginning of the week. Funny stuff coming from there. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I wanted to start off the top, David, talking about an interesting post from Lauren Holiday, former U.S. women's national team soccer player, also the wife of new Boston Celtics guard Drew Holiday. And I thought she had some really interesting comments, and I titled it in the doc, you know, it's always personal. And I took that from a couple different things, which I'm sure you'll remember as a movie buff. You remember in Godfather, after the Don gets shot and Tom Hagen, who plays, Robert Duvall, plays Tom Hagen, says to Sonny, "Sonny, your father wouldn't stand for that. It's his business. It's not personal, Sonny." All right. And then later in the same episode of in the same movie in Godfather, when Michael wants to do something and he says to Sonny to shoot the police captain, it's not personal, Sonny. It's just business. And it's funny, right? Because it's always personal, right? And another pop culture reference I'll make for a show I know you watch, Boardwalk Empire, when Jip Rossetti, played by the wonderful Bobby Cannavale, was kind of like this mobster, but like kind of people always assume he's kind of dumb and slow on the uptake. And they'd always make fun of him and tell jokes. And they'd always say to him, "Oh, you know, it's just a joke. Don't take it personal." And then Jip would say, "But we're all people, right? So how are we supposed to take it?" And that's ultimately, right? She's talked to Lauren Holiday, talked about being traded. And it's the business and the people behind this. And, you know, fans often don't think about it in that way. Players getting moved. It's more than a player getting moved, right? It's a family. It's foundations they set up. It's all these things. And I thought, you know, amazing, amazing point by her. And she was very clear, David, just like to say, it's not about sympathy, right? I'm not asking for people to feel sorry for us. It's more than that. It's just never business. And one part of the quote she says, "I'm sharing this so people can see the humans behind the business transactions. Because contrary to cliche, it's personal, meaning there are people's lives that are affected. It's never just business. On Wednesday, my husband took a nap. He woke up to news that he had been moved. No warning, no heads up. Not even a conversation that it could be a possibility. Just it's done. Now move on because it's not personal. It's business." And I just thought, you know, and she put a lot of other great stuff out there about, you know, how the Bucks' wives, who she knows are, who have been important to her, her kids, and they just started school and they're super young. Like all these things that are just important. And it's not just, all right, Drew's on the Celtics now. Cool. It's a whole different disruption that has to happen for people behind these things.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack with that, because this is not something we don't see in the real world, with one exception. If you are working for Marriott and you want to be promoted, that job opening may only be in Wichita, Kansas, and you've been in Boston, some great city, whatever. You don't have to take it. You can stay where you are and not get promoted. Mm-hmm. You can leave mm-hmm. the business. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the company.
Right.
Or you also can change professions. Mm-hmm. In this case, the NBA is just trading contracts. Mm-hmm. It's a business for them. But players are creatures of habit, creatures of routine. It's super important to get that routine. And then as anyone who has kids know, routine is so helpful in raising your family. I always thought it was. And all of it is incredibly disrupted. And that's not to say that Drew isn't excited about having a chance to compete with Boston. But meanwhile, he did do pretty well with Milwaukee. They won a bunch of games too. You know, having to get to know people for the first time again. And then who knows? He might decide to sign somewhere else, and now he's got to do it all over again. He's already mm-hmm. played for a number of teams. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot to it. I don't know how Milwaukee could have done anything differently, other than they probably should have told him, according to what she is saying, mm-hmm. they were not given a heads up. I think months ago they should have said, we have no idea what's going to happen. We aren't looking to trade you. That doesn't mean it's not possible. I think Drew probably already knows that. Mm-hmm. We always tell our people I would tell my young players, never buy anything. Rent everything in the city because you could be gone tomorrow. There's lots of things that happen that can happen. Don't get comfortable in any one city. Don't you dare think you can build a home. And I don't mean just the structure, the home. This is, as I told my wife, home to me is just being with her and we'll figure it out from there, right? Well, that's how it's got to be because you could be out tomorrow. And that doesn't mean it doesn't provide stress because it does. She's not playing for Boston. Correct. He is.
Right.
And, but if she, she wants to keep her family together. So I'm glad that I don't think the average fan cares, to be honest with you. So I don't really care much for the average fan to begin with anyway. they don't care about me. They don't care about the players. It's just their joy.
Yeah.
None of else matters, right? Right? But that she's a human being and she's reminding people that, we're affected by this. It's the business we're in, which is I probably use that line more than anything else. This is the business you're in. When I talk to players or agents or coaches, doesn't mean you have to like it. It's one of the negatives of it. There's a lot of positives.
Yeah, for sure. No, and I thought, again, just it was a great reminder on her part, right? Because that stuff matters. And it is often, we here at True Hoop and other people that we associate with recognize that. But yeah, for most fans, they don't think about it that way. And, look, I think in the world, we don't often think about others, right? in that way. And I think it's important that we remember that, this is an interconnected thing. And it's not just, all right, this contract's getting moved. Who cares? We're going here. There's more to it than that. So, yeah. They have, benefits the holidays do that will allow them to make this transition smoother than many other people in the world that they are forced in a similar situation.
I can talk about that if you want.
Sure, sure.
I mean, basically, so they'll have a hotel to stay in. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's 30 days at the team's expense where and then there'll be a member of the Celtics who will put them with realtors or realtor and start showing them around and you'll get an idea of just like any corporation that would move you. Mm-hmm. What's your budget to rent again, not to buy, to rent? Here's the areas our players normally live. Here's some other areas maybe you'd want to live within the budget you're talking about.
Here's the school systems
they have kids in school. Mm-hmm. So here's the school systems. Here's the rec center. Here's the little leagues and basketball, leagues and all of that. Football, whatever they're doing, all that stuff chimes in. I would imagine his wife will handle most of that because he's in training camp now, which isn't ideal. That you want to be a team. Yeah. The last thing, as if you're a partner like I have one, I don't dictate much. We collaborate. Well, Drew's gonna be busy. He's got to learn a bunch of stuff for this new team. All the same actions, all sorts of different terminologies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but nonetheless, that's what they have to do. And then she made a point, I believe, because I sent you the quote, let's talk about this today, and you already agreed to do it. You'd already put in the document. I don't know how old their kids are, but man, there's some stuff going on there.
First grade and preschool. So young.
Yeah. Yeah. So they might be shy. Maybe they're not shy. We were big believers as parents in our kids moving. We changed. My kids are going to finish. They're going to be finished with this college they started with. It'll be the only time they ended at a school they started with years before. We changed elementary schools. We changed middle schools. We changed high schools. And we were not afraid to do that because we thought it'd be good for them to figure stuff out. And we weren't happy with the schools they were at originally. But that doesn't mean that's the best way to do it. The holidays may feel differently. Mm-hmm. This is the life they are. This is the business they're in. But nonetheless, they've got to look at the schools and maybe one's got a talent at this or this. Is there a gifted program? Is there a jazz or band program? Whatever. So she'll handle a lot of that, I'm sure, as he deals with basketball. And then they'll do a nice job. The better teams do this, Gerard. They will have an ambassador at the home games. And they'll take the holiday family, they babysit them for a period of games. This is where we have this. And they just be with them. Or, hey, I'll be over here. If you need me, just text me and I'll guide you wherever else. So that the new garden, whatever it's called now, TD Waterhouse, whatever, it becomes more familiar with her, right? She knows Milwaukee like it's her own place. So now for the city and for the arena, so they feel more comfortable, which is, it's a nice thing that the better teams do.
Yeah, no, and it's important. The other thing to mention too, guys, is that, you know, there's the healthcare side of this. Many of you may know Lauren Holiday suffered from a brain tumor in 2015 or 16, I want to say, right after she'd given birth to, I assume, if the ones in preschool, it's their oldest child, the one in first grade. So she's been doing well since, but no doubt anytime you've had that kind of health situation, you have specific doctors and people you speak to. Now, Boston has incredible medical centers, and but there's going to be a transition, right, to new docs and whomever and what she needs to do there. So there's a lot of things that go into just, it's not just, hey, Drew's in Boston now, cool. Let's start it up and see how many games we're going to win. A lot of things happening behind the scenes. And this, David, is, and you can speak to this about the mind of an athlete. And I don't know if you know this, I'll bring this up too. Damian Lillard has filed for divorce from his wife, who was his college sweetheart, 5 days after he was traded to Milwaukee. And, you know, all these things are things that affect people. Like, I know we all like to think these athletes are superhuman, but you can speak to, David, like how they're, the reason why they are where they are is their discipline, and they're able to, for whatever the period of time to get my work in or whatever, is the best ones can lock in and just focus on that thing, because that's sanctuary from the chaos happening outside in the real world.
I mean, they definitely, you know, they have some athletic talent typically. They obviously have a love for the game, and they train their ass off at it. But they're as human as anybody else. And I'm lucky enough where I can see them as human beings because, you know I held their babies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I told their babies and had a million meals with them. And it's as ordinary as any other relationship you'll ever see. They just happen to be extraordinary at something, you know? I remember hearing a producer for Oprah Winfrey was asked who was the most down-to-earth celebrity they ever had on the Oprah Winfrey show. This was going back, you know, a number of years. I can give you 100 guesses. You'll never guess it. You'll never guess it.
I'm sure.
She said it was Britney Spears.
Interesting.
Long before all the crazy shit happened. Fame can affect you. Fame can really change you. Henry was telling me yesterday about how power can change people.
For sure.
We all know money can change people. Fame, celebrity, power. And so I'm lucky enough where I've not dealt with that a whole lot. I've dealt with that a little bit, not a whole lot. But yeah, it's, you know, it's, I don't know what's going on with Dame. It's a weird sense of timing. Mm-hmm. It also may have just been pure coincidence.
Sure.
Right. We don't know. And I really, I don't care.
It could have been happening over time. And it just, when it got filed, right. It got filed when it got filed.
Yeah. May have been, you know, I'm not leaving Portland. Mm-hmm. This is my home. This mm-hmm. is where our home is, whatever. And he's like, well, I'm going and I'm not coming. And the kids are staying here. Okay, we're divorcing. You know, you never know. My dad was a divorce lawyer for a long time. He didn't tell me many stories. He told me some, never mentioned names. But yeah, it's, I didn't know this. It makes me sad. It's a lonely existence in the NBA, and it really helps to have a partner, I think. And Gerard, I've coached a lot of single men who don't want to be single, but they just have a hard time trusting. It's not a surprise that Dame married his high school sweetheart.
College, yeah.
College sweetheart. Mm-hmm. They end up frequently trusting the girl that they trusted when they were nobody.
When they were nobody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I've known men, you know, my age that are in wife number two and wife number three that are very successful. And it is a real question for them is, does she love me for me, or does she know I can take care of her bills and she'll never have to worry about it, you know, paying a bill on time or whatever again? That's a factor. I mean, I know a lot of people like who have been married twice and think about that with their current wife or the future wife. Yeah, it's something to think about when Damian starts playing this year. He's not a psychopath. It's going to affect him to some degree. It's going to affect him, and he'll do whatever he can to block it out. And they're normally pretty good at that. They're normally pretty good at when I talked to a player two nights ago. The game is a respite from his life. It was when he was growing up very poor or mm-hmm. poor. And he was not from this country. It was a respite. Mm-hmm. It was an escape. And so I reminded him that it still is, that the drama of this game and this league doesn't have to follow you under the court. The challenge is to find, I literally said, find your joy on the court mm-hmm. when you're there. erase all the distractions. They'll be there when you get done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When the game is over, you'll deal with whatever you have to deal with off the court. But mm-hmm. focus, it's easier said than done, but that's what you want to do.
No, yeah. You know, when you said that, it made me think of something when the player you mentioned who said, it's a respite. It reminded me of something that Kevin Durant always says is about getting lost in the game when he's on the floor. And you know, this is probably why he loves playing basketball so much, right? Because when he's on the court and doing that, ain't nothing else he's thinking about but whatever I'm doing here. And, you know, again, yes, these guys are super rich and they are super extraordinary, but it doesn't mean that shit isn't like chaotic everywhere else in their life and like things they'd rather not deal with.
It's really good advice to be able to do something that you love to do. It's more important to be good at it. You tend to be good at something you do like, at least to some degree. I told you last month I had to do a brain MRI. It was 13 mm-hmm. minutes long. And I was a little bit like, what the fuck am I going to do for 13 minutes in this little machine? And I decided I'm going to – this was back in – this was early September, Labor Day weekend. Yep. I had to I named all five – I thought to myself, I'm going to name all five starters from all 30 teams, right? And I got seven deep, pretty much all of them. And I swear I felt like I was in there for 4 minutes. And it was a I actually didn't go through in that 13 minutes. I'm not sure I went through all of them, but I also had to sit and wait for someone to wheelchair me back, even though I could walk just fine in hospitals. They don't let you do that stuff. Right. So I went through all of it ultimately, and it was nice to be able to just go there and not feel any stress. As it turns out, everything was, you know, they said my brain was not the one of a 58-year-old man, which is good news. Was younger than that, so. I'm jealous. I can't do it at 58 to go play. That's why I love swimming. I haven't even talked to you about that. I'm such an idiot.
No, you talk about it.
I could get some advice.
Oh,
from you.
I'm
doing, you know, last 2 days I did 60 laps, which is not 25 meter laps. Okay. My pool is half that size.
Okay.
But I'm also not trying to make the Olympics. I'm just adding cardio to my walking as it is and push-ups, whatever. But I looked at the earbuds that are waterproof, mm-hmm. and I said, no, I'm enjoying the focus on form. Yeah. I do think about basketball sometimes. If I'm in a good groove, I can let my mind escape. Yeah. It's a pleasure. I don't even bring my phone outside. It can't ring. I can't even – if I think of sending a message, I can't do it. It's in my office, in my house. I really like that. And so that's what it is for a lot of these players and has been.
Yeah.
Remember when Udonis talked about – he basically cussed out all the spring breakers for coming to Miami mm-hmm. during COVID. Because mm-hmm. at that point, we didn't realize you were pretty much safe outside, although they were so jammed together, maybe not. And he's like, we got people here that are be locked in. They have to be locked in because of you. And they are not safe at home. And so that's what basketball has been for a lot of people who really don't have homes that are homey mm-hmm. for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Like rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You can really be in a bad situation when you're home, so you don't want to be home. And basketball is that great escape. It's as is sports and music or whatever.
Sure.
And for these players, very much it is. And yet, like you said, it's personal no matter what. When you're having to change locations and bring your family with you, it's easier when you're single.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also tougher when you get there because you're still dealing with everything on your own.
No, that is well said. And I just thought that what Lauren had brought up was so important to talk about, and I'm glad we actually started the show talking about this. David, in Milwaukee, there is some concern or some misinformation going on about one Chris Middleton. Eric Name, writer for The Athletic, who covers the Milwaukee Bucks, he posted on his ex, formerly Twitter, a back and forth the assembled reporters had during Bucks training camp this week about the status of Chris Middleton, who was not full go in practice yesterday, which was Wednesday. So a question was asked, was Chris able to go today? And this is Adrian Griffin responding, not live on court, but he's been very productive with his individual workouts and he's been working his way towards getting back to more 5-on-5 live basketball. Next question. So what's he done the last few days has not been a surprise to you because he said he had no pain and feels great at media day. No, we got time on our side. We're just being smart and he's working diligently to get back to the game plan. So that's the game plan. What's ailing him? Does it have to do with the knee? Just us being smart, just not rushing the process. He's doing great. Is it fair to say that the plan is October 26th, which is the start of the season, Chris will be ready to go just day by day, just taking it one day at a time right now, but he's progressing beautifully. We're just being smart right now. And it kind of goes back and forth with this whole, like, Adrian never addresses any kids. What kind of problem? What injury? What are you talking about? You know, look, coaches often have fun at media members' expenses, not telling them issues about injuries because they don't really want to let that information out. The point is that Middleton did not do full work at practice on Wednesday. And as reporters that cover the team, they want to know, well, Chris said on media day, everything's fine. He feels great. Why is he not doing 5-on-5 work? And the question that was asked later, is it true he's not been cleared for 5-on-5 work? And Adrian didn't answer it again. Adrian Griffin did not answer it again. Look, I don't want to get crazy and sound the alarm, but, you know, something to keep an eye on, because if Milwaukee is going to be a champion this year, yes, they have Dame and they have Giannis and we know all that, Chris Middleton has to be close to the player he was in 2021 when they won the NBA Finals. If he is not, and he's had two straight seasons post that have been injury plagued, this is problematic for them.
I wish I could say I was surprised. I'm not. I thought Adrian handled it very poorly. This is management should be involved. Adrian just said, you know what? I only play the guys when I'm told they could play. Mm-hmm. Talk to management. Talk to our doctors. Right. Talk to management. They'll tell you what they can tell you. But the way he answered these questions, now everyone knows is a problem. Mm-hmm. He could have just said, or management just could have said, the knee's not 100% yet. He could easily play right now, but why would we make him play before it's 100%? Yeah. So he's out, you know, indefinite. We don't know. It's going to be a story either way when he starts missing games. They handled that poorly. Mm-hmm. But this is why I said they should, you know, surgically dismantle. Take down this mm-hmm. team. Dame and Giannis are great together for sure. I happen to think they do need a much better wing than an injured Chris Middleton to win a championship. And so maybe, but the thing is, they're stuck with his salary.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And he just resigned, just did an extension.
Right. That doesn't mean he can't be fined by game 20 or game 5 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an ongoing problem, and I don't think it's going to suddenly be solved.
Yeah.
Normally it's not with knees.
Right. You know what's so funny about this, David? Like, I feel like in the NBA, players and coaches can avoid these kinds of situations where now this becomes a story if they just come up front from the beginning and just stop it from speculation. It's the speculation that causes it to now become talk on whatever the stupid morning shows are, right? If you just come out and say on media day, you know, still I'm on track to be ready to play, you know, we're going to be smart about, and you answer it that way, as opposed to, right, oh no, full go, no problem. And all of a sudden, you know, he's not practicing today. Well, what happened? And now it starts this whole thing. And I get it. I know why they don't want to say it up front. I understand that. But there's ways in which, and it's not just injuries. You can do it with free agency too. Yes, I know that my contract is up at the end of the year. And of course, free agency is something I'm going to talk about. I will not be entertaining free agency thoughts throughout the year. Like, and it stops all of this. But when you leave it hanging, it's catnip, right? And so, all right, we're gonna poke at it. Right, that's what gets done, and I just felt like, to your point, yes, I agree. Handled poorly by Adrian Griffin yesterday.
Yeah, as a rookie coach, and this is all part of it. You know, I think Pop would probably handle it differently. He's smart; he'll figure some stuff out. The issue is, to me, the betting markets as much as anything. They want transparency, mm-hmm. and this isn't that. So the league has to come, I think, around on how do we best inform our populace,
right?
You know, our fans and our gamblers of what really is happening, so they can do their thing. We're making money on these gambling sites. We need to help them be transparent.
With something though, David, healthcare, which is private, right?
I completely agree.
So it's this very,
this is the challenge,
you know? Chris Middleton shouldn't have to tell everybody in the world every single detail about his injury. Like, and no, we don't do that anywhere else. That's not a thing, right? But because betting markets are involved, how much of the injuries do the public have to know about? It's all fascinating. And, you know, listen, we're already down this slope. Once we started taking money for all this, this was definitely going to happen. All right, David, earlier this week, yesterday actually, True Hoop put out a wonderful piece. You guys should also be subscribed to TrueHoop.com. And David put 64 players. And I thought, what a wonderful round number that is. 64 players that are good and gettable right now. And you know, the genesis for this was that there are, according to your estimation, David, 18 teams that have designs on, we can make the conference finals. Well, as everyone knows, the math doesn't, right? Only 8 teams are going to make it, right? Or 4 teams, excuse me. So 14 are going to be shit out of luck. But what are the things that we're going to do to bolster ourselves so that we are in best position to not only get to the conference finals, but hopefully get lucky, get to an NBA finals and possibly win? And you put us a variety of scenarios out on the board that teams could do. I want to start, so many of them are fascinating. I want to start in Atlanta. And I love what you did there because you can go 2 tracks. You've always maintained that Trey is an elite offensive player. And you don't just give away guys like that, right? That's just...
No.
However, we've seen one awesome playoff run out of this team that prompted us to say, hey, they could possibly win the whole thing in the future. And then we've seen some not great stuff. Trey is on his 3rd head coach right now. And if this doesn't work with Quinn Snyder, that's 0-3. And you said in the police, that's a strikeout. Not good. So, and Trey has defensive issues, which you've talked about as well. What does all of that mean? Sure, we can keep Trey and figure out, let's move this forward. Let's make things happen here. Or we can say, you know what? This is probably not going to happen. And then if he's available, that's someone who will generate a lot in return if you're able to move him.
Yeah, I mean, I know Atlanta has considered trading Trey. They've considered not trading Trey. Atlanta has some designs on getting a premier all-star level, all-NBA level player to pair with Trey, and also not with Trey. I think they've looked at everything. Doesn't mean they'll get a deal. And so at some point, they just have to measure, can we win with Trey to the level we want consistently? Otherwise, are we going to lose a 3rd coach under him with Quinn, mm-hmm. Who clearly can prove, he's proved he can build a winner in the regular season. And so it's a fascinating thing. And who could take Trey and help him reach his full potential, get him to be a little bit ornery on defense, which I think is possible, and get him to shoot better. He shot poorly last year, mm-hmm. for him, very, very poorly. Shot selection matters. He's a young player still. Yeah, so, yeah, they're a fascinating team that can – and there's a number of teams. Toronto's another one that mm-hmm. can really go up mm-hmm. and really go down.
Yeah.
Well,
you just mentioned them. Toronto was the other one I thought was super fascinating. There's problems in Toronto, and there's no other way around that. We saw a media day this week where a reporter asked a question to Masai Ujiri about, normally, you look at contract extensions, and then she was talking about Pascal, but you didn't give him one. And he said, and Masai kind of went in this thing about, well, we want to make sure our guys are playing the right way, and basically intimated that Pascal was playing selfish last year. And the team was playing like a bunch of individuals last year and not as a team. And I was like, oh, well, that's not great. And you wrote in your piece, if Pascal's always said he's done nothing but love Toronto, that's normally a thing that teams like to hear. And so for the head of the team, the president, to come out and say, oh, well, Pascal, this guy who loves our organization, is playing selfish, that to me suggests bad times. And maybe Pascal now has a lot less love for Toronto. And if that is the case, David, he and OG Anunoby, we already know, has already said that he's not happy there and wants to do more. Those are 2 valuable players that could get back a ton for Toronto and could help contenders.
I have to tell you, I've been covering the league since 2007 when I joined ESPN. I've had NBA players since 2003 on court, and I've never experienced a situation where a team president basically pisses on his team and his best player from something that happened in last season after you've already fired your coach. By the way, what he said is inaccurate. The first of all, he didn't really say Siakam selfish. He intimated it. He handled it very poorly. Masai did.
Right.
Pascal was coming off a career year in assists, 5.8. I looked it up just to be sure. Of the top 24 top scorers, he's 24th in 24 a game, whatever it was. He finished, I think he was 18th in seconds per touch of those top 24. Of the 5 guys who touched it less than him in terms of amount of time he had the ball per touch, 4 were big guys and 1 was Jaylen Brown, who can't dribble. So you could call him selfish, but then you're saying every other player in that league is selfish too, when they had the ball even more than him per touch. Mm-hmm. It's just a stupid thing to say. OG's assists went down, Fred VanVleet's went up, but you got rid of him for nothing. You let him leave for nothing. Pirtle isn't much of a passer either way. Their team had more assists this year than last year. And then more importantly than that, you just don't have to say that out loud on media day when everything else is puppy dogs and ice cream. Mm-hmm. Right? All you had to say is, it was last year. He was asked about a comment he made last year. Mm-hmm. Just say, well, that was last year.
Right. Yeah.
We have a different team. We have an entire new coaching staff. I think maybe they kept one staffer from last year. I'm not going to talk about last year anymore. We're going to go this year. And then you can say what you want to say about the extension. Mm-hmm. We're waiting and seeing. We're negotiating. It's an easy way to say it. He pissed on his best player. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. OG's already said, I'm going in free agency. Mm-hmm. I think Siakam probably ends up doing the same thing. They can test the open market. And now what does Toronto do?
Right.
Do they trade those guys? And who wants them when they could just leave? Someone might. But Toronto's not going to get full value for them because that team doesn't know if they're going to stay. So now he may be faced in the same calendar year. Not same calendar year. The same one year, 365 days, losing VanVleet, Siakam, and OG for nothing. That's not great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not great for a franchise. And and who gets those guys? And then what if Pirtle just signed for a lot of money? He could have stayed in, he could have gone back to San Antonio, which is what a lot of people thought he was going to do, and be the center next to Wemby.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You don't need a shooting five when Wemby's your four.
Yep.
So he would have been terrific there. And but he came to Toronto, I think, because I mean, San Antonio paid him the same money. I think to play with these players, and now they're gone. Well, then what does he want to do there? And so you can't let him just play it out. But he's got years left in his contract, so you'll trade him. It's just weird what they're doing. And so we have to keep an eye on it because those guys can help a team. And so an agent said to me in these situations before, when my client's in a contract year, any team that wants to re-sign them will call us first. But any team that doesn't care and just wants a one-year rental doesn't have to call us. And so that means OG and Siakam could be traded. For whatever reason, and that's going to make a big difference for one of those teams who is just renting him for a year, like the Raptors did with Kawhi.
Yeah,
it worked out great.
Exactly, yeah. It did work out well. And being that they don't love Toronto anymore, depending on who those teams are, they may want to stay, right? So they can maybe work something out where it's like, oh, we like it here. A team like Memphis, for instance, right? Where you say, wow, I could be part of this young core. Memphis is fun. We got to. I'd sign an extension here to play with Ja, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane for the next 4 or 5 years. That could work out, right? So I think
not for those two guys because they want too much money, but for another team. You're exactly right. That's the bet, in my opinion, that these teams will make is we don't need a promise from you. We're going to be a competitive in the free agent market, and you're going to have a year with us or a half a year, whatever, where you're going to see how we're going to use you. That's why they might do it, thinking we can still get the guy.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get full value for the trade. Because the team doesn't know as opposed to if you had signed Pascal to an extension in June, you could have traded him in December, November, and been just fine.
Exactly.
And the team knows we got him under contract, you know?
Yeah. No. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see there. What the other team I want to talk about is Brooklyn. You kind of said, I want to stand pat because, A, I want to see what Ben Simmons looks like. And everything that I've seen and heard and talked to people around there, he's looking good. He's looking very healthy and very fit. And if he's running up and down and being like the Ben Simmons, like you said, 80 to 90% of what he was in Philly with those wings and Bridges and Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith and
Claxton
at the five. And I mean, this is becomes a very intriguing team. And they can do some things, right? Cause there's a little bit of duplicity there with some players. You can move somebody and get maybe a little bit better on ball juice guy, like a Jordan Poole. Right. If Simmons are those things, right. And then you have a ton of space. Jacques Vaughn did say, shock to nobody's surprise, who understands basketball. When I have Nick Claxton and Ben Simmons out there, I got to make sure the other three can really provide space. Like, yeah, because you got two non-shooters. And playing two non-shooters in today's NBA is almost death if you don't have a ton of on-ball juice and shooting around them.
Yeah, for sure. I think I even wrote that Jordan Poole with the Nets is intriguing. Is that the team I mentioned?
Yep.
I just felt like I don't want to talk about the Nets until I see what Ben Simmons is. Because if he's terrible, then they got to start thinking about trading some of those other players. They're all bring a lot of value back. If he can be elite defensively and just average on offense, okay, we got something cooking here. Because they can really be a top five defensive team. And that already makes them interesting, right? Just especially if he's a facilitator on offense, you know, he's got his own flaws, but you're not going to play him in fourth quarters if he's just that much of a negative.
Right.
But I'm rooting for him. Huh? I'm rooting for him, and I I'll be watching very closely how he looks. The first time he drops the free throw line and gets fouled, mm-hmm. then that's his dance. Crazy.
Oh yeah, and I mean it'll, you know, like it was last year. I'll be able to tell right away when I watch the game. How he runs and how he's walking will give me an easy indicator of how that will kind of shape that back is. Right. For his sake, right. We hope it's good. All right, guys, we'll be back after this quick commercial break. All right, we mentioned media day and some comings and goings happening. David, did you see Jimmy Butler's new emo look at media day?
I don't know who emo is.
Well, emo is short for the kids called emotional, right? It's this whole tie into like, you know, certain kind of bands and boys who like wear their hair long and like paint their nails and they're all it's just silly, but like, and they have piercings and it's hilarious. But
Jimmy Butler has his own personality.
He's hilarious.
It doesn't bother me one bit. I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't really read about it. I don't really care. But I like that he's got a personality. Let me tell you something. Without going into detail, the Heat got something going on. They really do a great job behind the scenes. I'll tell you off air what I mean, but they just do a great job behind the scenes. I'm talking about management and coaches.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they've made two finals in 4 years without a Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. without one of the best players in the league, and almost made three.
So would you Jimmy say, Butler makes that so three. Would you say Jimmy not a Hall of Famer? Do we not think he's?
I haven't looked up the stats of that. But has he made All NBA like more than once? Like, I don't know.
I think he's got at least three All NBAs. I would say
he's a great player for sure. But you know, he also takes some time off in the regular season. But regardless, what they've done is tremendous, and there's a reason why. So letting Jimmy be Jimmy, every team should be copying the same thing. They all should be doing what Miami does.
Jimmy Butler was conference finals MVP last year. He has been a six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA, and five-time All-Defense. So,
he's Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. So they have one Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Still,
yeah,
it's 2-4 and almost 3-4.
Pretty impressive.
Pretty amazing, yeah. So I give them they're the model of the league right now, in my opinion. Everyone should be copying them.
What I love about Jimmy is when he does this. Remember last year he came out with the extensions. Jimmy's a troll because it's media day. So what happens on media day, for those of you guys that don't know, is when all the photos are taken for the team media guide, for all the promo materials they're going to be doing all season. Like, that's what it's for. And Jimmy knows that. This photo that I'm taking is going to be the photo that gets put up every time I'm on national TV, right? And it's hilarious. And he knows that this is what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have this photo up because it's funny. And I love that. Sometimes we take
this stuff. He's a clever dude.
We take this stuff too seriously. And like Jimmy's like, come on, we got to have some fun here. So this is
awesome.
I enjoy that a great deal. Lakers, David, have been doing a lot of talking. Anthony Davis said, you know, we get it. The Nuggets won. KCP's my boy. Of course, KCP played for the Lakers. But man, they do a lot of talking. Like, I know y'all won, but like, I talked to Bron about that. We're looking forward to playing them. Austin Reeves said something similar this week during our training camp. Yeah, it gives a lot of motivation for playing them on ring night, whatever. Guys, you need motivation like that to decide you're going to play? How about the fact that they swept you in the conference finals the year before? And as I always say, victor of the spoils. They won, so they can do all the talking they want. And mind you, they're not even talking. The Nuggets are like, what are you talking about? We haven't said anything about the Lakers. Like, we're not even thinking about them. I mean, Malone, I think during his championship celebration, was kind of poking fun at LeBron, because remember when they swept the Lakers, and LeBron had did his whole I might retire, and Malone was like, why are we talking about the Lakers and LeBron? We're the ones who are going to the NBA finals. Why are we talking about this guy and this team? So, you know, listen, athletes use whatever kind of slights, real or invented, to get themselves hyped up for whatever reason. Bottom line, Lakers, if you're going to beat the Denver Nuggets this year in the postseason, AD, you got to be the best player on the floor in that series. Will you? We don't know. Time will tell.
We will get to AD in our last segment.
Well, we might or we might not. You might.
Let's get into it. I have nothing to say about what you said is right. That these guys, they come up with whatever slight they want, whatever.
None of that shit matters. Like, are you going to be better in a seven game series? Right. That's what matters. We'll find out.
Right.
All right. So we're doing our season previews, guys. And I thought David and I would have a fun exercise of figuring out who will be the top 15 players at the end of the season. So essentially, it's all NBA. But I made it very clear to David, it's not teams. I don't care about positions. Right. Who do you think the 15 best guys are going to be? And I want to start here, David. Maybe you know this off the top of your head, maybe you don't. How many players do you have over the age of 30 in your top 15?
Good amount.
Wow.
I'm looking at my list right now. It's a good amount.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now. I only have two. And for the first time ever, this may be blasphemous. People might be like, what are you, crazy? For the first time ever, David, in the history of, well, not the history of the league, but since he's been in the league, I do not have LeBron James in my top 15 at the end of this
season. You better be careful. The Lakers may switch from talking about Denver to talking about you. He's not, LeBron, you're on my list, buddy. I got five over 30. Just looking at it, I'm pretty sure I think five is the right number. Joker's not 30.
He's not 30, no. Oh, man. Yeah. Yep. Look out. Lakers may. I may be bulletin board material for the Lakers saying that I don't have LeBron and well, since the cat's out of the bag now, I don't have Anthony Davis in the top 15 either.
I already knew you didn't. I do. I've got both. So let's go through it.
Okay.
I did it. I did it just through just looking at rosters. Yeah. And just the two guys I don't have. You don't have those Lakers. I don't have any Clippers.
Neither do I. No Clippers.
Yeah, it felt weird that I don't have PG or Kawhi, but I don't. I've got. So you want to start at 15 to 1?
Yeah, let's start towards the even though it's not, guys, it's just grouping. I didn't go 1 to 15, but I'll start towards the bottom, quote unquote, and I'm using air quotes, guys, of my list. I don't think they're bottom players, but let's just start there. So these are the five that I have. Jaren Jackson Jr., Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Ja Morant.
I have Markkanen, Donovan, Zion. Mm-hmm. Tyrese and Tatum.
So,
and I didn't really order.
Right, exactly.
They're towards the end, but any one of those guys could be up. And I'm glad you mentioned De'Aaron Fox because he definitely is a guy that if I was going to drop LeBron, I would put Fox in there. I won't put Morant because he's 25 games is a long time.
So it was tough for me with the Morant thing. I was like, but he's going to miss so much of the season. But I was like, do I really think in the 58 games he plays, he's not going to be one of the best players in the league. It's always hard when you only have 15 slots. So you have to make decisions about who am I bumping out and putting in. And
listen, we saw Christian Brown run circles, run dudes in the NBA Finals after not playing a lot all year. Ja's going to be like a Ferrari and everyone else is going to be like an old three-legged camel. You know? He's going to be, right, with 25 games in, you're kind of thinking all-star break now and he's going to be fucking zooming.
Yeah. So I was like, I got to put him in. And David, you know how much I love 7-footers who could shoot. It pained me not putting Lauri Markkanen in this top 15 because I wanted to so badly, but I was like, fucking it, I don't have too many spots.
I think the Jazz are going to be better because they're just going to be better. Mm-hmm. They, you know, unless they decide to get rid of some guys, which they might. And as those other guys step up and play better, and I Walker Kessler and Taylor Hendricks is a rookie. Might be interesting to play it. So with Laurie, so I have Laurie in there. Yeah.
All right. Next group of five, I got a pair of teammates. Book, KD. I got Steph. I got Tatum. And I got Zion.
Yeah, I understand. To me, just when you miss as much as he's missed, I didn't want to put him in my second group. Although, again, I didn't really – for Zion.
Zion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just missing so much time. But I have teammates as well. They play for the Lakers. Hey, L.A. – Gerard doesn't have Bron and AD in there. I do. I've got Bron, AD. Again, Shea probably deserves to be top five. So it's not really fair that I'm looking at it this way. But just as I listed off in my head, I have Bron, AD, Shea, and then KD and Steph.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then in my top five, we're probably going to be just the same. I got SG up there because I just think he's coming. Giannis, Embiid, Luka, and of course, Jokic.
Yeah. I have Dame Lillard in there.
Yeah, Dame didn't make my top 15 either. Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. He might rap about you.
Okay, so I got Dame going to rap about me. Lakers got me up on their board for bulletin boards.
Right. I think Dame is going to be sick for Milwaukee. I really do.
Listen, according to EPM, he was the best offensive player in the league last year. Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
If he is that with Giannis Antetokounmpo this year, look out.
I mean, he did that with nobody next to him. Shaedon Sharpe.
Correct.
Anthony Simons is nice, but right. I mean, they got Giannis. And Lopez inside, it's going to help a lot too. Defensively, I think Dame's going to be really fantastic.
It, you know, doing it, this could be the argument, right? For we got to expand to four. It's like, no, just keep it at three, all NBA teams. It's just, look, the league is just good. And at some point, right, your KDs, your Stephs, your LeBron, these guys are going to eventually age out of this. Like they, or yeah. or injury is going to age them out, right? Like it's just going yeah. to happen because we only have so many spots.
Yeah, but I think LeBron is, you know, he's got his son to think about and for motivation. Yeah. And the Lakers can win a championship this year.
Yeah, you said it.
The Lakers can, yeah, the Lakers win a championship. So I think we're going to see both of it. It reminds me of them when they first joined him and AD. Like they were just super focused. I did not think they were so conjoined last year. I feel like they have figured out again. And LeBron's got his record out of the way. He's got his points record out of the way. Yeah, I mean, Darvin Ham, we'll see. We'll see if Darvin got better. But they've had all offseason to work together. I just have a sense that they're going to come out firing.
And, you know, everything LeBron does, we all know, is calculated. And LeBron said yeah. during Media Day this week that AD is the face of this Lakers franchise now, right?
So he said that before, too.
Yes. So this is
year one.
He is lighting the, look, man, the reason I partner with you is because you could extend my championship winning window. Well, I'm yeah. laying the gauntlet down to you again. You know what I'm going to bring at this stage of my career. Now, at this stage of his career, LeBron is he cannot carry a team by himself. Like he just can't do it. So he needs AD to fulfill his destiny, making him sound like Luke Skywalker now, right? And become the player we think he could be, which is a MVP DPOY. David, you know Anthony Davis in his career has only finished in the top five in MVP voting twice.
Amazing.
For a player yeah, that talented, that is a shame.
He might get it this year again.
And yeah,
I could see LeBron leading the league in assists again or close to it if AD's healthy, obviously. Yeah, I really like their team a lot.
Yeah, no, you like it a lot. Austin Reeves is going to be excellent for them. Yeah. Rui, oh, man. Vanderbilt, injuries, we can't predict. We don't know. All things being equal, the Lakers will be very, very interesting to watch, as they always are. All right, folks, we have preseason basketball in just about 15 minutes here in Abu Dhabi. Why do you think we're in Abu Dhabi, guys? Any thoughts? I got some thoughts about why we're there.
Can I leave you with this?
Yeah.
You can't WhatsApp in Abu Dhabi. Like the NBA should not be in countries where they don't WhatsApp.
David can't reach out to his players. I got to talk to these guys.
Yeah, well, they can call me and text me. They just can't WhatsApp me because that's encrypted.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other stuff is all tracked.
Right, yeah.
And that's, you know, we shouldn't be doing that. Because the NBA shouldn't be playing games. Like, it just,
wow.
It's, I mean, I understand why they do it.
We know why they're in Abu Dhabi, David. Yeah. We know exactly why.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate to me.
Yeah, well, and the NBA is already down that road. So, you know, this is where we are. All right, we'll have our preseason games to talk about this weekend, too. There'll be a ton, and we'll have some stuff. Early looks. I imagine maybe we won't see a ton of like the main older superstar guys just because we're not trying to wear these guys out right now.
I think you'll see some in Abu Dhabi though, okay. because they want to give the fans a show. Yes. I wouldn't be surprised if Luka and Kyrie and all those guys are starting and Anthony Edwards and Gobert and mm-hmm. Towns.
Oh, speaking of really quick, just to tie it back to your 64 players who were gettable. The Mavericks probably have an opportunity because you mentioned, right? If they're going to start Omax Prosper and these young guys like they're talking about, it's possibly to enhance their trade value. They want to get a third kind of good guy to go along with Luka and Kyrie.
There's the two way to look at it, Gerard. First of all, I think they'll start today. The one argument is let's get them play well and let's move them for a third guy. The other argument is we're 3 years away from Luka's Supermax extension again. I think Lively's 20 and Omax just turned 21. Mm-hmm. And in 3 years, they get a chance to sign their extension. Mm-hmm. They could do it with Luka. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is this is who you're going to play with mm-hmm. in our next deal mm-hmm. when you're in your prime, in a sense. So they can play it by ear and see how things go. Yeah. It starts today.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. All right, guys, have a great weekend and we will see you on Monday.